So what do you get when you tie a fundamentalist Christian and a Wiccan together? Essence of Ex-Lax in the drapes, a cat with rigor mortis, and six clogged up dust devils. You're listening to The Inner Side.
Here's something from our good friend Jim Newell over at Wonkette.com. North Carolina science people. I'm sorry. I know, you think I'm making that up, don't you? No, apparently they have a few. They're probably keeping them on an island somewhere with the crocoducks. But anyway, it says it right here, and this is in Scientific America, so trust me. North Carolina science people have determined that coastal sea levels are expected to rise 1 meter, which is 39 inches, about, by 2100. Far more than they've traditionally risen due to the expected impacts of climate change. But developers in 20 coastal counties, have determined that such a rise would be bad for development prospects. So they've lobbied the state to lower the forecast to 15 inches. Because why not? This is from the News and Observer. Federal authorities say the North Carolina coast is vulnerable because of its low flat land and thin fringe of barrier islands. A state-appointed science panel has reported that a 1 meter rise in sea level is likely by 2100. The calculation prepared for the North Carolina Coastal Resources Commission was intended to help the state plan for rising water that could threaten 2,000 square miles. Critics say it could thwart the economic development on such a large scale. The Coastal Economic Development Group, called NC20, attacked the report, insisting the scientific research is flawed and appears to be winning its campaign to undermine them. The Coastal Resources Commission agreed to delete the references, such as the 1 meter prediction. The North Carolina Division of Emergency Management, which is using a $5 million federal grant to analyze the impact of rising water, lowered its worst case scenario from 1 meter to 15 inches. They just voted 24 inches away. I love it. It's democracy at its best. The Republican state legislators are cooking up their own solution to this problem of evil scientists trying to make predictions based on scientific models. Don't allow them to consider climate change. You know, vote that away too. They circulated a bill that authorizes only the Coastal Commission to calculate how fast the sea is rising. It said the calculations must be based only on historic trends, the past, in other words, leaving out the rise climate scientists widely expect this century as warming increases and glaciers melt. Also, too, we heard from Jesus that the sea levels will never rise. So build away. Don't forget the parking spot for your canoe, Elvis.
I firmly believe that only God can heal our land, and just waiting for the American people to wake up to what's going on around them about a government that is actually denying God, and in doing so is bent on taking away those rights and liberties and freedoms given to us by God, in contradiction to the very organic law on which we're based. So I think that I learned a lot about the spiritualness of the battle. I've never regretted what I did. I did exactly what I knew I was to do.
Let some federal judge tell me to remove a monument, which he had no right to defeat. What they fear most is my knowledge of the sovereignty of God. You know, even the judge on the federal bench didn't say it was about to take
him. That was he said. Read.
In his opinion, he said,
this is my quote. Well, he chose to read
whatever religious belief
he chooses is great. Oh, wow. There's
no
God of religious freedom.
When he said that,
he lost.
Lost one of its own a couple of weeks ago. The great comic Ron Schock died of cancer May 17th. We really didn't give him a proper Texas radio tribute because we were in Fun Drive. But tonight we're going to listen to some Ron Schock in a minute. Ron co-founded the legendary Texas Outlaw Comics with his friends Riley Barber, Jimmy Pineapple, Andy Huggins, Steve Epstein, Stephen Giuliano Moore, and Bill Hicks. Back in the day, Ron was a unique stand-up, a great storyteller, and a very funny guy. He'll be missed. We're going to listen to Andy Huggins, recorded last month, talking about Ron, and then I'll be playing a live recording of Ron's signature bit, the 900-foot Jesus. So keep it locked.
I went out to visit Ron in Las Vegas last week, and he was at the Nathan Adelson Hospice. I'm at the hospice. Ron's in his own room, and in a room next to us was a somebody was very ill, dying, and the family was coming in all day. The family coming in, including child after child after child. It was like Jimboree out there. A dozen kids, none of them older than seven, acting like kids who don't comprehend death. They're just
right
running and playing and being loud and being kids. So that's the situation. I'm in the I'm in Ron's room, and we're talking about this and we're talking about that, and we're acknowledging what's ahead for Ron and what's, you know, in the past for us. And we're talking, and it's very emotional. And at one point, Ron says, "You know, I know we all have to die. I just don't want to go yet." At which point, we hear a screech owl yell from some 8-year-old brat out in the lobby, and Ron goes, "On the other hand." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a comic. That is a comic.
That was
to its core.
We can do that. It's how I got in comedy. 1980, I'm in New York City. I pick up the New York Times. There was a headline that changed my life. It got me out of publishing, it got me into comedy, it brought me here tonight. It changed my life. The headline said, "Today, Oral Roberts said that a 900-foot-tall, floating up in the air Jesus had appeared to him for private consultation." Wow, you're really jaded. Or you didn't hear what I said. Or you haven't wrapped your mind around how tall 900 feet is. It's imperative that all of you have a notion of how tall it is. Why? Because it's going to make this joke a lot funnier, okay? It's tall. It's 900 feet. It's 3 football fields laid end to end on top of one another. It's the Transco Tower, the one at 59 and 610 that had the beacon on it for years. That's 909 feet tall at the top of the beacon. Floating up in the air, Jesus appeared to him for private consultation. I'm sorry to say the first two words that sprang to my mind were bullshit. But I thought they'd taken him out of context. So I wrote Oral Roberts and asked him for his press release. And because I worked for a publishing company, they sent it to me. And here's what he said happened. These are the words that got me into comedy. This is what Oral Roberts said happened at 4:30 in the afternoon in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I quote. quotation marks. I turned around. That's how he talked. I turned around, and there he was, a 900-foot-tall Jesus floating alongside the road. Those eyes, oh, those eyes. There I was, eye to eye. With the Lord. And the quote. If I can have a little background of gospel music. We'd like to welcome you to the Saturday evening service of the Church of Logical Thought. Brother, highly irreverent, Reverend Ron Schock is presiding. And we're going to look at Oral Roberts' statement that he saw eye to eye with the 900-foot-tall Jesus. Incidentally, Brother Oral never said if the 900-foot-tall Jesus was thereby bending way over. Kind of like this, kind of like floating in a hunched over position. Or if Jesus perchance was floating upside down with his head down here, his feet 900 feet up in the air, but that would necessitate him wearing pants instead of his traditional robe, you understand? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Or if Oral Roberts is a lot goddamn taller than he looks to be on TV. So I looked it up, and he's tall, much taller than I. He is 6'4". However, quick subtraction will show us that at 6'4", Oral Roberts is still 893 feet and 8 inches shorter than a 900-foot-tall Jesus, and that counts nothing at all for the holy float. Amen. But the question is not, did they see eye to eye? No! That is not the question. The question is, did it happen at all? Did a skyscraper tall Jesus and appear to Oral? To tell you the truth, I don't know. But I thought about it. I thought about it, brothers and sisters. I searched my mind and I searched my soul. I don't know what happened in Tulsa that day, but I know that only 4 things could have happened. I just don't know which one did. So I'm going to give you all 4 and you make up your own mind. No favorites. Oral says a 900-foot-tall Jesus appeared to him. Possibility number 1 is maybe on that beautiful day in May, Brother Oral Roberts went stone cold crazy. Can I have an amen? Amen. It could have happened. It happens to somebody every day. Possibility number 2 is maybe, that's all I'm saying is maybe on that beautiful day in May, Brother Oral Roberts did have in his possession and then went ahead and took some of the very best LSD that's ever come tippy-toeing down the pipe. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of my fellow congregants today have taken of heavy hallucinogenics, but let me confess unto you that I have. I've taken some massive amounts. And while I've never seen a 900-foot-tall floating up in the air Messiah, or major prophet for my Jewish and Islamic friends, I did see, the entire Grand Funk Railroad band come out of a record album cover and perform live in front of it. Hallelujah. I said a hallelujah. I said a hallelujah. It was the 3rd best concert I've ever seen. Amen. Possibility number 3. Maybe, on that beautiful day in May, Brother Oral Roberts made this shit up. Maybe he's a bald-faced f***ing liar. My personal sentimental favorite, I might add. But if he lied, credit is credit would do. That's a hell of a lie. Balls, Oral carries his around in the holy wheelbarrow. La cojones grande. If thou art gonna tell them a lie, tell us unto them a whopper. That's Corinthians 4:23. Hallelujah. If it's not one of the first three, and I believe it is, but if it's not, possibility number four, it's true. But to be true, it has to be true. It's got to be a 900-foot tall Jesus. If that's true, Oral Roberts is the hardest man ever to impress. Why would Christ grow to 900 feet tall after he just returned from the dead? Wouldn't need to show off. He was trying to get Oral's attention, don't you say? He knew he showed up 10 feet tall, Oral just shine him off. I'm hard to impress, but little bitty, teeny tiny, floating up in the air, Jesus, blow my shit away. Little anorexic Buddha put me down. Nobody else in Tulsa happened to spot that 900-foot tall Jesus. Seemed like you would have missed this. Oral said the 900-foot tall, floating up in the air, and I presume glowing in the dark Jesus, told him to raise money. I was going for it up to then. I've read the New Testament. I don't think the second coming of Christ will be a fundraiser. Oral said that every congregant should give him $37.50 until he had $7.5 million. I don't think Christ would grow to 900 feet tall to raise the money. But let's say I'm wrong. Let's say you're wrong. Let's say Jesus Christ comes back to earth to raise money, and he grows to 900 feet tall to do it. He still would not have gone to a right-wing, racist, warmongering, homophobic, sexist, backwoods preacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and tell him to go get $37.50 from a whole bunch of people. Why, Jesus is stupid. He'd float up outside of, say, Donald Trump's 85th floor window and tap on the window from the outside. Donnie, I think you can guess who I am. And I need some money. And Trump's going to go, you betcha. I was kind of hoping I could buy my way in. And Kenny's written us a little song to take us on out of here, brothers and sisters.
I dreamed I went to heaven on gossamer wings, up through golden clouds I could fly. St. Peter was waiting at them old pearly gates. He said, we need a little something before we let you by. We need some money.
Oh, we need some money.
Oh, to cover your sin.
We need to be covered.
$37.50.
Twice
they say Jesus drives a Harley through tough times he gets by, and the Lord works in mysterious ways every day. Someday he'll be returning for beggars and thieves, and you can hear him rumble in the baby on the judgment day. He'll make the money. Oh, you see. $37.50. Get you in. Eternal life has limitations. There's a fee for your salvation before you pay. They don't take checks, they don't take plastic. Promissory note won't get you past it. It's gotta be cash.
Gotta be cash.
Gotta be cash.
Gotta be cash.
It's got to be.
More. I'm Ron Schatz. Thank you very much. Take a bow, Kitty. Thank you very much.
Forum.
No.
It was at the Don Larned's Club, the old spot, and I was like 1997, and I was, you know, 22, 23 years old. And I was lucky that I was appropriately reverent when I met him. Okay, because I'm there way early. I'm sitting in the green room. He comes in, and it is sort of like Elvis arriving. There's like a tension in the air, and he's like, "So you're my MC, huh?" Yes, sir, John Wesley. Now, John, in your most critical of inner voices, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at introductions? And I was like, well, 9. No sh- 9, he says. Well, and then he says, well, I'll say it to you once. And he gives me like this, he just says this paragraph, and I just instantly parroted it right back to him. You know, one of the original outlaws of comedy. He's toured all over the world, you know, all right. That stuff. And he's like, good job, kid. Good job. All right, we'll see how it goes. I get the feature act gets off. I get the, you ready for your headliner? Yeah. He's one of the original outlaw comics. And I rattle off that paragraph just exactly as he had said it. Please welcome. And I drew a complete blank on his name. And it was awkward. And he just sticks his head around the corner and goes, Ron Schock, you fucking idiot. And I went real quick, Ron Schock, you fucking idiot. And he comes up and he doesn't shake my hand. Right. Yeah. And I instantly like, oh, well, I'm in trouble. He just grabs the mic away from me and I slink around. He's like, folks, I don't expect you to know who the fuck I am. But that little son of a bitch just told me that he, on a scale of 1 to 10, was a 9 in introductions. And he railed on me for 5 minutes. I'm outside smoking a cigarette. I'm sure I'm about to be fired, whatever. Show's over. And he's like, kid, that was fucking awesome. We're going to do that the rest of the week.
There was one. In Las Vegas, a man gets, this was in the Review Journal, I live in Las Vegas, a man gets out of the Nevada State Prison where he just served 9 years for the horrible crime of rape. He's out a week, and don't you know it, this sumbitch tries to rape a woman, but it didn't work out so well for him this time. Let me quote from the newspaper article, the Review Journal, quotations mark. During the ensuing struggle, the intended victim managed to bite off both of her assailant's testicles. End of quote. She bit him off. She bit him off. She bit him off. She didn't nibble on him. She bit them off. Sean. Fooey. Fooey. Ball two. You're out. After she bites him off, her assailant runs screaming and bleeding into the night. This woman has the presence of mind to go get a plastic sack, pick up the two balls, put them in the sack, and take them to the Las Vegas police to help them find the guy, which wasn't hard because long about then, he was checking his ass into a hospital with some rather bizarre story about how he had misplaced his nuts that day. And he was arrested. And the moral of this story, or the point of this story, and it does have a point, the point is that that woman just did in a microsecond what the Nevada State Prison System had manifestly failed to do in 9 years. She rehabilitated that guy. He won't do it again. And he has to go back to prison with no balls. And a new nickname. He's Pamela. Never mind.
Comics are always asking me what was it like to know Bill Hicks. And it's kind of difficult to explain. I've used this analogy before. It would be like being a painter and being friends with Rembrandt or Da Vinci or Michelangelo, because that's what Bill was to comedy. He was a Rembrandt or a Michelangelo. He was just so much better. And he was so good that at times it was discouraging to the rest of it, of thinking, well, I just should quit comedy because Bill's already done it. You know, anything I'm going to say, he's already said better, And if he hadn't said it better yet, he will eventually. And yet at the same time, he was just a great guy to hang out with. And he was able to pick up information and process it and turn it into a piece of art quicker and better than anyone I ever knew or ever heard of. As an example, Bill and I, we had a relationship. I was much older than he was, 16 years, something like that. And I was kind of like an uncle because I had lived a life, you know. I mean, I'd been places and done things, and been in penitentiary and been in corporate boardrooms, and I had experienced things that neither him nor people he knew had done. And so we would talk. He would ask questions and I'd answer. But one night, this story is that Bill is over at my place in the Heights there in Houston, and we're out walking my Great Dane, Che. He's the Che dog. He is the dog of the people. But anyway, Bill and I are walking the dog around the block, and in the course of the conversation, I start talking about money and the Federal Reserve and gold standard and silver standard and how Wizard of Oz was really a political speech about the bankers of that time and blah, 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 you know, and how money moves across borders, etc. The next day, the next evening, Bill Hicks goes on stage and does 15 minutes on money, and it's hilarious. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, you know, I've known this for 15 years and have never thought of one single funny thing to say. And Bill just hears a brief conversation about it and is able to extrapolate from that all this information and turn it into a comedy piece. How would you like being friends like with a man like that, especially if you were a commie? It motivated you on one hand and discouraged you on the other. I think if Bill lived, everybody in comedy would have probably quit by now, and we'd just spend our time watching Bill. He was that good. But anyway, another story from back in the day.
That was Ron Schock talking about Bill Hicks back in the day. And you can hear more of those. Those are up on YouTube, and he calls them the Bill Hicks Chronicles. They were recorded a couple of years ago, so you can go if you want to hear some stories about the young Bill Hicks. Well, Ron tells some pretty good stories there. That's on YouTube, Bill Hicks Chronicles. And that was the late Ron Schock, just died May 17th. Andy Huggins told the story about visiting Ron in the hospital a few weeks back and with all the screaming kids. John Wessling talked about blowing the introduction, and both of those were recorded a couple of weeks ago on the Whiskey Brothers Comedy Podcast. They're at praisewhiskey.com. Those guys put out about 2 weeks. They're great. And if you want to go see those guys, you can check them out Mondays at Sherlock's. It's kind of a big comedy night, open mic, kind of loose thing going on down there. Sherlock's in River Oaks. We heard some CyberSense sound engine in the mix. And this has been the Innerside Radio program. You can check out all these programs if you Google the Innerside, and they're all archived up there. So see y'all next week.